What's going on, everybody? Welcome on in to a special edition episode of the Brass Ring Media Podcast, live from Philadelphia, WrestleMania weekend right here in Philly. Man, it's crazy to be down here. We walked all around kind of the downtown area, which is where we're staying. And it's fully branded WrestleMania. I mean, there's pictures of Cody's face everywhere, Seth, Roman, Rock. We also hit up the WWE Superstore today, which was complete and utter pandemonium, as was WWE World. We didn't venture very far in there at all, but took some pictures, took a video, a short video. You can see that on the channel. It was, they've certainly upgraded. They've upgraded their weekly events without question. It really feels like a big deal. Really feels like a big deal, a big WWE production convention hitting the city, and you can tell that as soon as you touch down, as soon as you get into the airport. More on WrestleMania all throughout the weekend. I'll be at NXT tomorrow afternoon, so we'll have a report and a show about that. Tonight, though, I hit up the Ring of Honor show, the Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor pay-per-view event that was headlined by Mark Briscoe versus Eddie Kingston for the ROH World Championship. Also on the card, Hikaru Shida versus Athena for the ROH Women's World Championship. There was a Stardom three-way match. Kyle Fletcher defended the television championship against Lee Johnson. Are you fucking shitting me right now? Like, is this fucking real life?
I thought at first it was like someone's sink going, but that's not what it is. So we're gonna have to call the front desk if it goes on like that.
Also, Kyle Fletcher versus Lee Johnson for the men's television championship match. And then, later in the night, the first ever women's television champion was crowned with Billie Starks. And she is a little bit questionable in her means to win that match. So wanted to talk to you guys about the show. It's been a while since I've been to a Ring of Honor pay-per-view event, and this one was interesting. I think it had some highs for sure, also some lows for sure as well. First and foremost, like, the atmosphere of the show was pretty solid all the way through. I mean, they had a good crowd. They had a nice crowd. They did not sell the upper deck at all. And the lower deck was, I don't know, I'd say like 80 to 85% full for the most part of seats that were, you know, available. Obviously, they had the hard camera area blocked off. There was an area on the side of the ring that was blocked off as well. But for everything that they sold, there were butts in seats, and I think that's a good sign for ROH. And I mean, yes, they're taking advantage of WrestleMania weekend for sure. But why wouldn't you? If you're Tony Khan, you have this second brand, and you want to, you know, build your TV so that it points towards a major event, like, this is a smart one and historically a big one for Ring of Honor to have over WrestleMania weekend. So that's fair game, totally fair game. The audience was into damn near everything. I mean, they certainly had their moments, their ups and downs, just like at any show. But I didn't, you know, you didn't get the sense that you're watching a crowd that was just going through motions and that was just kind of there to see a wrestling show and blah blah, that was it. Like, they genuinely seemed invested in some of the outcomes, particularly the two main events, the co-main event with Athena and Shida, and then especially the world title main event with Eddie Kingston and Mark Briscoe. We'll start there. That match took a little bit to get going. Both entrances I thought were babyface in nature. It was clearly, you know, good guy versus good guy, except that majority of the audience wanted to see Mark Briscoe pull off the win, win the world title. He was booed. I mean, he was reacted to negatively just because that audience really wanted to see Mark Briscoe win. But it made for a really good match. It made for a good formula for the match itself. Mark bled right out of the gate. A pretty big gush. I was, I don't know, probably 20 rows up on the first level. And you could see that gusher from there. Like, it was clear he was bleeding. It's clear he was bleeding a lot. It got a reaction from the audience. It did what it was supposed to do in terms of drawing sympathy for him. I think you felt for him in that scenario. And then he played from behind the entire match. I mean, he had various kind of striking battles with Eddie Kingston in the middle of the ring. He was selling, I'd say, for at least 60% of the match, if not more. And that was the story. That was the story of the match, that they played right into that classic dethrone the champion. So Mark was there. He was there for it. He delivered when he needed to. The real star of the match, though, was Eddie Kingston. I mean, you had to thread like a needle here in order to make that match work. And make it work with Eddie Kingston as like the champion babyface wrestling Mark Briscoe. I mean, yes, it would have been easy for Eddie to just kind of essentially work heel in that match and maybe use some underhand attacks, maybe cheat, maybe some foreign worked heel, and he would have gotten a negative reaction. The magic of the match, though, is he didn't. Like, he kind of stayed the course as far as how this whole thing was set up and Eddie making sure that Mark was gifted this title shot. That's an ultimate babyface move, and he stayed the course with that character throughout this match. And it was not easy to do, especially when he had to be the guy just beating Mark Briscoe up to a pulp. I mean, like, it had to be treated with care in order for it to work. And he did. He sold really well. He was methodical in the ring. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen Eddie Kingston like kind of walk around the ring and stalk an opponent the way he did in this match. I mean, he really control the leader here because of what they wanted, the story they wanted to tell. And I thought home run within that spot. Of course, Mark Briscoe winning was a cool moment. I mean, it just was. I mean, it wasn't in front of kind of the old school Ring of Honor audience, but certainly the people in the crowd appreciated Mark Briscoe, appreciated him and his brother as a tag team, knew the history of the Briscoes and ROH, knew the fact that Jay Briscoe won. And so when he finally got the 1-2-3 and he used his brother's finisher to get the wrestling moments are all about. That's what makes kind of the storytelling as enticing and intriguing as it is, because you have that happen. You can have that history. You can have callbacks to that. And it's just such an emotional, tragic story in so many ways. And so to see kind of Mark come out on the end of this storyline wise, you know, with all the terrible personal stuff with his brother aside, you know, it made for a cool moment. And I think, you know, it's good for our ways to have some of those along the way, because look, the bottom line is there's not a lot of people watching the product right now. Week to week. I mean, Tony said on the call this week that there's more people signed up for, you know, the Ring of Honor streaming service than ever before. And that they may very well be, but it's not a product that's like sizzling hot. It's gotten better, I'd say, last, you know, 4 months. But it still hasn't found its footing. So for them to kind of be in, like, thumbs up. up. And it tells you that the brand still has some oomph behind it if it just gets some attention. Like, it can't be featured as like this secondary brand to Ring of Honor with them, but it's got to be something that stands on its own, that seems like it's getting, and now they have one. And I think that's, like, you know, the best part of this show is that, you know, you want to tune in next week on the show to see what Mark has to say as champion after all these years. I mean, I think you have your guy if you're Tony Khan, not the guy you're going to attach your big AW company to, but the guy that you can put on the ROH brand as the face of that brand that is synonymous with that promotion since its inception 20 plus years ago, essentially. And give people a reason to watch it. Like, if you want to see Mark Briscoe do his thing, you gotta check him out there. You can't see him on Rampage. You can't see him on Collision or Dynamite. No, he'd be the face of Ring of Honor at this point. I think the story tonight was told in a mean, like, you know, a million people are going to watch the show. Of course not. But gives the show some direction. It gives it some focus. It gives it, you know, like I said, a reason to tune in. So thumbs up across the board, main event, from a match perspective and from a, okay, here's where we go next perspective. And so Tony Khan should be very, very happy with how that shook out. As for the women's championship match, you had Athena defending the title against Hikaru Shida, former multiple-time AEW Women's World Champion, kind of coming down not long ago as Athena that was begging for an actual challenge, as she put it, and there Shida was. The build to this match, I thought, has been solid. Kind of like a, strange to say, but like a legacy AEW star. Was a bit of a weird role to see her in at this point, given that, you know, AEW is still very young, and it's weird to call anybody a legacy star from a company that's so young. But, I mean, she would certainly fit the bill. I mean, multiple-time champion, had a long run as champion. Yes, it was during the pandemic, but so be it. And now she's not really a player on that show.
Because it just went blank. Now it's working again. What was the last thing I said? Do you remember?
Talking about the girl being a legacy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So to see Shida now kind of in this different role, but a role that presents her in a way that's, I don't know, I think worthy of what she's done.
and really opposite Athena, who is, you know, held down ROH for months as the central attraction of that show. Like, it's the Athena show. I mean, and what's great about that is you can't see her anywhere else. I mean, she's really like made Ring of Honor her own. Now, there's pluses and minuses to that because you have people on AEW television, the big show that are far beneath Athena. Like, Athena is leaps and bounds ahead of a lot of that talent. But like I just said, if you want people to watch Ring of Honor, you got to have people on the show that people want to see. And I think Athena's played that role well. So it was fun to see these two go at it. They had a long match. They had a really long match. They went back and forth, lots of near falls. Both like the match, unlike Kingston and Briscoe, which was a match positioned as champion versus underdog. The women's title match was laid out in a way that both women were kind of wrestling each other as equals, as both, you know, alpha superstars, alpha champions, that weren't, you know, like, so that, yes, they were selling, and yes, there were big moves, and yes, there were big spots, but the story of the match was not that, like, you know, any sort of somebody playing from behind or like fighting from underneath. Like, that was not the story. It was the two women going toe to toe the entire way, trying to top the other with big moves and submissions and striking. So just a different type of perspective. And I think, you know, it made for a good end of the show as far as both matches, you know, coming together, because they were very different title matches. And I think that really helped out the show a lot. So good match. Athena won, of course. So now, you know, the question is who's next for her. And I don't know the answer to that at this point in time. I mean, she's beaten pretty much everybody that's on the show on a week-to-week basis. And now she's beaten an AEW kind of legend in Shida. It's probably an overdramatic way of putting that, but you get what I'm saying. So now it's, okay, where do they go next? I mean, they have some stardom people in town. We'll talk about that match in a minute. Could they go that direction? You know, maybe is Mariah May going to spend more time in Ring of Honor? Could she be somebody that challenges Athena? Billy Starks, of course, she's the new women's television champion after the match tonight. But they've kind of have a long-term story going with the two of them. So that's, you know, a possibility too. We'll see what they do. But again, tonight was about Athena. It was about kind of adding a notch on her belt as far as a title defense goes. And thumbs up. I think they accomplished that for sure. Some other notable matches that took place. You had the fight without honor between Dalton Castle and John Morrison. I don't know what he's going by these days, but that's who it was. And that, you know, it was okay. Like, that was, you know, very gimmicky, very, they had some weapons, they had some tables, but it seemed out there to like be more of a show than it was like actual weapons that are going to hurt the opponent. And I don't know, I felt that way about the whole match. It's like you have all these historical fight without honor matches in Ring of Honor, and then that you have this one, which is just like kind of limping through that danger. No blood. Yes, they did a thumbtack spot, but that just led right to the finish. So not a ton of drama here. There was a spot in the middle of the match where Dalton Castle's boys did multiple dives through the ropes, and they were horrendous. I mean, like, god awful dives, where you had Morrison on the outside of the ring just catching them to make sure they didn't hurt themselves. But in no way did it seem like they were hurting Morrison. Really bad spot. The payoff was this comedy spot anyway, so completely useless in the framework of the whole match. Just bad. I mean, that is like kind of a microcosm of why the match wasn't great. Before that, we had a stardom match, a six-woman stardom match. I was, frankly, a little disappointed by the stardom match. I was really pumped to see these women kind of have the spotlight on them. A moment to shine on a ROH show. They're in town. They're coming off their own show from yesterday. It just seemed to me that the situation was ripe for something really, really memorable. And it kind of was a bit of a train wreck. I mean, and not necessarily in a, like, oh man, these women are awful kind of way. But just the match didn't make sense. It was like the six women said to themselves, well, we want to get in all these cool spots and all these cool moves. And, you know, we're just going to do that by any means necessary. And in this match in particular, it meant like no tags. It meant people running in whenever they wanted to in the match. It was complete pandemonium as far as like an actual story. It just went spot to spot to spot to spot to spot. Some of the spots were cool, others weren't. And so it made, you know, the sacrifices not worth it. So yeah, I was just a little let down by this. I wanted to see more of a crisp Stardom style match. And yes, I know a lot of the Stardom matches kind of come along with a different psychology, a different, you know, different set of rules. You know, they let certain things go. But I just don't think they integrated that very well into the match tonight. So again, it had its moments. It had its moments. The women worked at a really brisk pace. It's just that a lot of the pace seemed to be there just for pace and not to further anything else within the match. So look, maybe they had an off night. I don't know. Maybe they just tried to fit too much into too little time. I mean, I think that's an absolute possibility here where they were like, well, we don't want to not do these things. And so let's just try it and let's just speed it up. But my guess is when and if they watch this back, they will have similar comments because it was just a bit all over the place and not, you know, I've seen plenty of Stardom stuff and it's really good. I mean, again, I would point all of you out there to check out a Stardom show, check out some of the bigger, more notorious Stardom matches because they're excellent. This just didn't have it. This just wasn't on that level. And I think that's more than fair. Last but not least, they opened the show with Kyle Fletcher and Lee Johnson in a very entertaining opener that had the crowd engaged, invested, on their feet multiple times. And not just with like this is awesome chance, but like with genuine, like what seemed like cheers and engagement from a crowd that was interested in the match, not just interested in being like a gimmick to the match. Kyle Fletcher, man, I mean, that dude, I don't know yet, or I can't say yet what his ceiling is going to be in AEW or in the wrestling business in general, but the guy can have just insane matches. He's so creative with how, you know, with the moves that he chooses at the times that he chooses them, just his moveset in general is out of the box and a little, you know, out of the ordinary. And he just moves around that ring like he's like it's second nature to him. It really does. Lee Johnson was a surprise here. He's, you know, a younger wrestler, up and coming, and was able to stay with Fletcher the whole way. They were, you know, kind of exchanging holds. They were exchanging moves. They were exchanging counters. They had, you know, their big spots. They had stuff outside of the ring. I mean, they really kind of did it all as far as like the match itself went. And Lee Johnson was right there. So, you know, he's had his ups and downs in AEW. I mean, he was a staple of AEW Dark for quite some time, Dark Elevation, kind of like those YouTube shows. And then since then has not had a really much of a push at all in AEW and a small one here in Ring of Honor. And I think this match, you know, should tell Tony Khan that he needs a little more. You know, why not? I think he definitely delivered enough. You know, maybe not, he's not going to win your world title anytime soon, but can he be featured on television week to week? Absolutely. I think he's somebody that like ROH is perfect for, you know, right now. I mean, he's a guy that this brand is perfect for. Same with Fletcher, who's head of Johnson, but both those guys don't have firm spots in AEW right now. And so they should look at the Ring of Honor platform as just a place to go to do their thing, learn the craft, and get over so that they force Tony Khan's hand to get him up to Dynamite at some point. It's going to take a bit for Johnson. Fletcher, like I said, is already there. But I think, again, if you're Tony Khan, you're looking at that match, you're going, okay, I think we have something here. We've shined the light on two guys that are worth shining on. Let's see what's next. And you don't have to make any decisions about that right now, but they delivered enough to get a second look without question. So that's the show. That's the show. Again, thumbs up. Thumbs up from me. Again, the audience was in it the whole way. The merch situation, Ring of Honor, you guys got to step up your game. I mean, come on. Like, you have – look, we went to WWE Superstore today. We were there for about, I don't know, 15 minutes, let's say, maybe 20 minutes. There is an obscene amount of money being thrown around the WWE Superstore. I mean, there were lines for the championship belts that, as you guys know, they're $500 a pop, right? And, you know, people are waiting in line, a long line, to get their hands on the title belt. So money is exchanging hands WrestleMania weekend, okay? Ring of Honor showed up to that show with like two shirts and like a couple posters. I think there may have been like one hat there. It's like, come on, do you want your company to make some money or not? Like, print some shirts for them, for like, not like main event shirts for the pay-per-view, but where were your Eddie Kingston shirts? Where was the Mark Briscoe shirts? I mean, man, if there was ever a day to like come out with like a special Mark Briscoe shirt, it was today. You know he's winning the title. Get some stuff that people want to get their hands on. It was like a barren wasteland up there. Couldn't believe it. So shame on you, ROH. Get your merch game together. I'm not saying it has to be on WWE's level because that was complete pandemonium and madness. But you can be better than you were today, for sure. That'll do it for me. I'm going to wrap up here. We'll have updates all weekend long live from Philadelphia. Tomorrow after NXT, we'll have our VIP post show for WrestleMania, probably on Sunday morning for our members. If you want to become a Brass Ring Media member, all you got to do is head over to Patreon, patreon.com/BrassRingMedia. $4, that's all it is. Get $4, get you access to everything. Full access to our daily newsletter, a free weekly podcast that's members only, access to all of our PLE and pay-per-view review shows, access to Discord too, which is probably, you know, I don't know, my favorite part for sure. All the members hanging out on Discord, talking wrestling, talking life, talking sports, music, whatever else. It's a great place to kind of shoot the breeze with other people that like to talk about wrestling the way we do and like to analyze wrestling and cover the wrestling business the way that we do. So I highly recommend it. We'd love to earn your business. Patreon.com/BrassRingMedia. If you're watching this show and you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel, please do. Just click right there. And you will know when we are live. You'll know when we drop a new video. You'll have all full access to when things happen on this channel. Hit the notification button so you don't miss anything. It's free to do that. So please do. Also, you can get these shows as podcasts. They are simulcast as podcasts. You can pick them up wherever you download your podcast, whether that's Apple or Spotify or somewhere else that's totally random. We are there. And so you can take us to work. You can take us to in the car, to the store, wherever. You can make sure to get your Brass Ring Media fix on the go. Cool. I'm Zach Haydorn. I'll be back tomorrow with another WrestleMania update right here with Brass Ring Media. See ya.